Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Thanksgiving time is right around the corner. Soon we will each be gathering together with our families and our loved ones, celebrating and giving thanks for all that the Lord has done, including for all of His blessings and His provision in our lives. And thinking about Thanksgiving, did you know that the Thanksgiving holiday didn't just start here in America or even with the Pilgrims? Thanksgiving, actually a whole week of 7+ days of celebrating and giving thanks to God, was God's idea, and we can read about it in the Bible. One of the three main feasts in Israel that was laid out by God in the book of Leviticus is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also called the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Tabernacles begins on the 15th day of the month of Tishri, which compares to our months of September and October. It was held during harvest time, when all the fruits of the land had been gathered in. The Feast of Tabernacles, which was the last of the Jewish feasts on the calendar, was known as the most festive holiday on the Jewish time. The whole week was a time of joyous celebration and thanksgiving. It was a time of remembering God's provision and His faithfulness to Israel in the past, and it also served as a reminder to God's people to trust in the Lord and to rest in His provision for them in the future for all their days yet to come. One of the most unique aspects about the Feast of Tabernacles was that all the people for 7 days were to dwell in booths made out of branches of palm trees or willows. For 7 days, all of Israel was to dwell in these makeshift booths to be reminded of the time when Israel had camped in the wilderness. From the time when God had brought Israel out of Egypt, He made His people to dwell in booths, in tents, during the time period when they were encamped around the tabernacle, the house of the Lord. For over 40 years, from the time of the Exodus until the time when God brought in His people into the promised land, the Lord had faithfully provided for them, giving them water to drink, meat to eat, and even daily bread from heaven. The children of Israel were being taught that God and God alone was their provider. The Feast of Tabernacles in the Bible, the biblical Feast of Thanksgiving, was a time of remembering that God is able to provide for His people, no matter what the circumstances or even how impossible things may seem. Through the yearly national feast, God wanted to remind His people to be totally dependent upon Him, just like they had been in the past, because God and God alone can meet their every need, including their greatest need to be in a right relationship with Him. One of the times that Israel celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles that we read in the Bible was a very special day in the land of Israel. 487 years, the Bible tells us, after Israel came out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, God's given design for a movable tent tabernacle was now built into a temple, the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us that God had chosen Jerusalem to be the very place where He would forever set His name. We also read in the scriptures that God had even chosen the specific mount where the house of the Lord was to be built. God had shown this place not only to His servant David, but also to Abraham long ago. It was on Mount Moriah that God had tested Abraham, and God had provided a lamb on behalf of for Abraham's own son Isaac as an offering unto the Lord in his place. Abraham then named the place of Mount Moriah from that day forward Jehovah Jireh, a name for God meaning the Lord will provide. God had chosen this place and marked it as a special place, not only as a future site of the temple, the house of the Lord, but also as a signpost to Israel, His chosen people, and for all the nations of the earth to know. God desired that this place would forever point to God's greatest provision, the giving of God's own Son, the promised Lamb of God from the foundation of the world, who would one day come into the world and be offered for us on our behalf, in our place. God gave us His Son so that through His death we might have life. Through the giving of the Lord Jesus' blood on our behalf, we could be forgiven of our sins and be made right with God and have the righteousness of God by faith. And through Christ's resurrected life, we could have eternal life with God, dwelling with God and God dwelling with us, His people forever, encamped around His throne in the very presence of God in heaven for eternity. The story of Abraham and Isaac points to a future day when our Heavenly Father would put the weight of the world upon His own Son to carry our burden and our punishment for sin. God's Son willingly laid down His life on the wooden altar of the cross so the Lord Himself would provide for us our greatest need to be reconciled to God forever by faith in the shed blood of God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was on Mount Moriah, the place that God had shown to David, the king of Israel, that David desired to build a temple, a house for the Lord. But God had said no to David building it himself. Instead, God said to David that one of his sons, one from David's own line, would build the house for the Lord, and of his kingdom, God said, there would be no end. After 7 years of construction, Solomon, David's son, he finished building the temple. Solomon, he wanted this day to be a special day of celebration and dedication. This was a day when they would bring in the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle into the newly built temple, the house of God. A very great congregation gathered together, including all the elders, the tribal leaders, the chief fathers, and all the men. This was not only the temple dedication day, but it was the seventh month, the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, the Bible says, when all of God's people would gather together in a time of thanksgiving and praise and celebration. After the Ark of the Covenant had been brought into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the Levites began to sing and praise the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps and 120 trumpeters, all standing at the east end of the altar in the courtyard. The scriptures tell us that when the Levites began to sing as one, to make one sound, praising and thanking the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that something amazing happened. The Bible then says that the glory of the Lord came down like a thick cloud and filled the house of the Lord so much that the priests could not even stand to minister because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. What happened at that moment reminds me of the biblical truth that when we truly give our praise and thanks to the Lord, thanking him for all that he has done and praising him for who God is, that there is no room left for anyone to stand, not even ourselves, only God. God and God alone is to get all the praise and all the glory, and all that is left for us to do is to move over and let God's glory come down. I believe that God longs to fill our hearts, our homes, and our land in this very place with his glory and his praise, but God wants us to humbly come to him and bow before him in praise and thanksgiving, declaring and saying to him that the Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. The Bible says that Solomon, the king of Israel, stood before the altar of the Lord in the midst of the people in the courtyard on a raised platform. Solomon then knelt down on his knees before all the congregation, and he spread out his hands toward heaven and began to pray to the Lord. Solomon repeatedly in his prayer called upon the Lord, no matter what the circumstances or the nation's sinful waywardness, no matter how far they had drifted away from God, or even when the stranger who was not of Israel would come and call upon the Lord in this place, that the Lord, that he would hear from heaven, his dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, Solomon said. Solomon also prayed that this temple would be a place of prayer, a place where sins would be remitted, where sins would be forgiven based on the blood offering for sin, and become a place where all the people of the earth would know that the Lord, he is God, and would know that there is no other God beside him, knowing and calling only upon his name. Did God hear Solomon's prayer? Yes, God did. God answered not just with a thick cloud, but also with fire. Fire came down from heaven, just like what would happen in the future when the prophet Elijah prayed to the Lord on Mount Carmel. But on this day, the temple dedication day, God showed that he had heard and answered Solomon's prayer by sending a fire that consumed all the burnt offering, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. This time, when the people, they saw the fire come down from heaven and the glory filling the house, they fell to the ground with their faces bowed to the ground, and they began to worship and praise the Lord, singing along with the Levites, "For the Lord, he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Solomon and the people then responded to God's mercy by giving even more offerings and sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that Solomon that day offered 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. There were so many offerings given that day that the brazen altar could not contain it all, and so the whole middle of the court was hallowed as a special place of an offering to the Lord. Fast forward now to the time of Jesus. Now we can better understand why we see Jesus flipping over exchange tables in the temple courtyard and driving money changers out of the temple, saying, "It is written, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." The whole temple, even all the courtyard, was special holy ground. The dedication of the temple then gave way to the Feast of Tabernacles. After celebrating for an extended week of over 14 days, Solomon then sent away the people on the 23rd day of the month, and the Bible says that the people went back into their tents, back to their homes, filled with joy and gladness of heart for all the goodness and mercy that the Lord that he had shown. Isn't this what Thanksgiving is really all about? Thanksgiving isn't about the turkey, the pumpkin pie, and all the goodies that we eat. It's not even really about getting together with family and friends, but those are all great, and they are great perks. Thanksgiving is really about celebrating the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and being grateful and thankful to God for all that he has done and for all that God will yet do. And that is what the pilgrims were celebrating when they held the first Thanksgiving. Yes, they were thankful for the safe journey across the ocean, landing in the New World on Plymouth Rock. Yes, they were thankful for the Indians teaching them how to farm and grow crops in this new land so they could survive and prosper. And certainly they were thankful for a new place, a new land where they could be free to worship God and to raise their children in the Lord. They were now free to teach their children God's word, telling the future generations and the generations to come that salvation was alone through Christ, through God's Son, through what he had done for them on the cross, free from the threat of persecution, imprisonment, and oppression. But most of all, the Puritans, who became known as the Pilgrims, were thankful to God for all his blessings, including the greatest blessing of all, to know and to love and to worship God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who provided for himself as our sacrifice the only payment for our sin. That night, after the temple dedication and the Feast of Tabernacles was over, the Lord appeared to Solomon and assured him that he had heard his prayer and that the Lord would make this place a house of prayer and this place a house of sacrifice. Then God made a special promise to Solomon, to Israel, and also to us who are by faith belong to Christ, who became our final sacrifice. God promised to his people, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." During the season of Thanksgiving, we have so many things to be thankful for, but we also need to humble ourselves to God and pray. We need to seek God's face, confessing our sins and asking him to heal our sin-sick hearts, our homes, and our land. We need to bow before Holy God, worshiping him, trusting alone in his salvation that the Lord provided all through his Son, the Lamb of God. Then by faith and all because of God's grace, we can stand and sing and say for the whole world to know that the Lord, he is good and his mercy endures forever. Just this week, my youngest son Samuel, who is 5 years old, brought home from kindergarten a Thanksgiving thank you book with a picture of a pilgrim on the cover that he had made out of construction paper. It had 4 pages of pictures that he had colored with words at the bottom of each page. Do you know what it said? "Thank you, God, for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing." And then on the last page, with a picture of a cross at the bottom, it said, "Thank you, God, for everything." Yes, we need to thank our God for providing everything, including our greatest need, by providing his only Son to pay for all of our sin. The Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. May the Lord bless you as you have a great Thanksgiving time with your family and as you commit anew to tell the next generation the biblical view of praise and thanksgiving, saying, "For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, so the generation to come may hear and know and put their hope in him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.